First John chapter number 2, let's take the Word of God tonight, and we will go there. And I pray that God will help us and will speak to our hearts. Tonight I want to ask you a question, which is the title of this message: How does God see you? How does God see you? Well, when we come to 1 John chapter number 2, it is going to mention three different types of individuals. Now, please know that it is using the masculine term when it comes to children and young men and fathers, but this is referring to all of us here, including the ladies. And tonight, how does God see you? How does the Lord look at you? Now, if you're here and without Jesus Christ, we understand that God sees us as lost. We are separated. We are not a part of the family of God. But tonight, I am supposing that every one of us know Christ as our Savior, that we're part of the family of God. Have you ever thought before, how does God see me? How has ever thought that before? Would you raise your hand? All right. I've thought that many times. How does God look at me? For instance, let me say this, all right? If I were to look out into a building of people and people that I did not know, and if I were to find my own children or my own wife, I see them differently than I see anybody else. I see them. I know them. They're part of my family. And I'm going to go to them. I'm going to see them. I'm going to be with them. For instance, I've been places before where people know me and that I do not know them. All right? Have you ever had that happen? You had that happen before? Boy, isn't that awkward, you know? I was somewhere recently and someone said, "Hey, Pastor, good to see you." I'm like, "Good to see you." You know, in my heart, I'm thinking, no idea who you are, you know. And they start asking me questions. They know, obviously, some things about me and our church. And I'm answering them. And at the end, they're saying, "Hey, I hope to see you again." "Yeah, me too. I hope I know who you are when I see you next time," you know. And it's so easy for some people because for me, it's just pastor or preacher. You know, they get away with that, you know. I can call people buddy or whatever it may be, you know, "Hey man, good to see you," you know, and "Hey brother, hey sister," whatever it may be. But, you know, the truth is the way we see people is often very different. Well, I have thought to myself, how does God see me? And how does God see you? Now, please know that I believe that our God looks upon us with eyes of love, with eyes of tenderness, with eyes of compassion, with eyes of mercy, with eyes of forgiveness, with eyes of care, with eyes of purpose, with eyes of just care for our lives. I know this, you know, when I go to that Bible club, and we talk about it a lot. In fact, Mrs. Dodane and her husband were here this morning, and maybe some of you saw them. I try not to point them out because they somewhat like to kind of sneak in and just not be noticed and all that. But they were here this morning. But I'll tell you something. When I preach to those young people every Friday, I'm going to tell you something. You know what I see? Sometimes I see kids. And one young man, I haven't gotten him out of my mind, he came to the Bible club the first time this past Friday, and he got saved and came to know Christ as his Savior. But I remember seeing him while I was preaching, and he's watching, he's listening. It's obvious God is working in his heart, and he's listening. And then after the service was over, he stayed around. He wanted to help clean up, and then he wanted to talk to me. You know, I thought about that guy. You know something, I seen what God was doing in his heart. But when I'm standing there preaching to those young people, you know what I see? I see great potential out of every one of their lives. I see what God could do with their life. And look here, God looks upon you tonight, not in disgust or disdain. God looks upon you with love, and He wants to bless you, and He wants to use you for His honor and glory. But when we come to 1 John chapter number 2, we notice three different types of individuals. Tonight, you are one of these three. It's how God sees you. Now, please know, underlying is His love and His care and His favor towards you. For instance, I know we have these ball games that happen on Friday and the volleyball and all that. Well, I'm going to tell you something. You know what? When a parent is watching their child And they're playing out there. Boy, that child looks up in the stand. That parent has eyes for that child, and that child has eyes for the parent. That is how God sees every one of us tonight. You are in the thought of your God. He looks upon you. He sees you tonight, and His eyes are looking in love. And He wants to bless and use you. But tonight, how does God see you? 1 John chapter 2, and let's begin in verse number 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar. And the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I've written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I've written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Now tonight, how does God see you? Would you join me in a word of prayer as we begin this message? Father in heaven, Lord, you know my heart, and you know that I want to be a blessing tonight to these dear people. And I pray that you will enable me. I pray, Spirit of God, that you would meet with us now and open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of thy word. And I pray that you would give me wisdom and discernment tonight as I preach. Lord, speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, how does God see us? Now, there are three different types of people that we notice in the Word of God. Now, we're going to look at little children. We'll look at young men and fathers. Now, it is not speaking to just little children. It is not speaking to young men. And it is not speaking just to fathers. For instance, you might, ladies, fall into the category of fathers. You, young lady, might fall into the category of a young man. Or you, older person, might fall into the category of a little child. So let's look at it tonight. May God help us to see the different stages of our growth. Now, God wants us to grow. In fact, it is God's will for you to grow in your Christian life. And let me say this. If you are not growing, something is wrong. Something is wrong. For instance, years ago, my pastor who pastored our church, and he was my pastor growing up, he told a story. He used to pastor in New Jersey area for many years. And he said that one day, him and a man from the church were knocking on doors, witnessing to people, inviting people to church, and so on. And he came to the door of a family, knocked on the door, and the lady came to the door. She began to talk with him, and she said, "Yes, I'm a Christian." And she said, "Sir, would you be willing to pray for my child?" And the pastor, who was my pastor, said, I'll be glad to. She said, come in here. And came into a room, and there in a crib was what looked like a little baby, but it had the head of about a 10-year-old child. The child's body had not grown, had not developed. The head had developed, but the body had stayed the same. And he said, I will never get that out of my mind, to go in there and see what should have been a 10-year-old child running and playing and laughing and all of that, but a 10-year-old really baby in a crib that had never grown. You know something? We would look at that and say, that's not normal. That's not natural. That child should have grown, but something was wrong in its physical body that kept it from growing as it should have. Folks, tonight, if you are a child of God, God has made it to where you and I are to be growing in our Christian life. And let me say this, if you have stopped growing tonight, you are not doing what God has commanded you to do. Let's look at these stages tonight in the Word of God. Number one, I want you to notice little children. Now let's go back to 1 John chapter 2 and look in verse number 12. Little children, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. Now notice that. Your sins are forgiven you. Look in verse 13. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known Him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. So their sins have been forgiven them, and they know the Father. Here's the ideal. All of us tonight, if you are a Christian, you qualify as a little child. But I pray that that is not where you have stopped. You know something? How does God see us tonight? Does God see some Christians here that have been saved for 10 years, but they are still little children? They are still in the crib stage of their Christian life. They are still there. They are not growing. Something is not right. Something has happened to hinder their growth in their Christian life. Little children, the first thing about little children is that they recognize that God is their Father and they can speak to their Father. Would you take your Bibles and go to Romans chapter number 8? I want to show you something about the little children. By the way, we should be very patient with little children. Now, little children, physically speaking, little children, I thank God for the kids that we have around the church and our school. I love being around them. They have life, you know it? I mean, they do. It's amazing what children tell me at times. And some of you parents, you would just be shocked and amazed what they tell me. I mean, sometimes you'd be embarrassed. I'm just going to be honest with you, all right? And I'm kidding you there. But it's just funny what kids say to me. I stand outside when the kids come in to the school, and I'm there to greet them and all of that. And it's just so funny to me, the things that happen, you know? And things that fall out of the car when they open the door, you know, that's funny to me, you know. One morning, two or three things fell out of a car, and they were trying to pick them up. The wind was blowing them all over the place, and I was helping them. And, you know, you just never know what comes out of the door, you know. But kids say things to me. I love little kids. I enjoy being with them. But you know something God has designed for us as little children, that we grow. That we get out of the crib. We get out of the kindergarten, per se. I've gone in the kindergarten class before and sat down in one of those tiny little chairs, and they think it's the funniest thing in the world. And I'll say, hey, I'm going to come to class today. I need to learn how to write. And they're like, no, you know how to write. And I say, well, I'm going to learn how to color today. No, you know how to color. Well, you know something? It would be pretty strange if I, as a 40-something-year-old man, was in the kindergarten, you know? Be something majorly wrong about that. Well, I wonder tonight, are you still in the kindergarten stage of your Christian life? Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 14. The Bible says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. You know something? There is something within the heart, within the soul of a little child that they cry after their mom and dad, do they not? I mean, they do. It's normal. It's natural. They cry out, Daddy, Mommy. I mean, it's in their spirit. But in the child of God, if we are children of God, there is something that cries out, Abba, Father. The word Abba means daddy. We want to talk to our Heavenly Father. We need to talk with Him. I remember when I got saved, I wanted to talk to God. I wanted to spend time alone with Him. And folks, tonight, it's unnatural if we do not want to talk to God. It's probably evidence that there's unconfessed sin. There is something within our heart that does not belong there. You take a little child, they don't want to talk to mom and dad when they're not doing what they should be doing. You see, the little children stage, oh, listen, tonight, we all qualify for that. But I pray that we have grown. Number two, when we go to the second stage, all right, we go to young men. Go back to 1 John chapter number 2, and I'm going to show you some things here tonight. Young men. The ones who qualify this evening as young men are those Christians that live a victorious Christian life. They are strong in the Lord. They are strong in faith. They are bold. They are courageous. And they're young men. Now let me say this to you. I've known of some Christians that have been saved just for a few months and they are young men in the Lord. I mean, they're strong in the Lord. They are bold. They are courageous. Tonight, are you a young man in Christ? Look what the Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, once again in verse number 13. Notice what it says here. It says, I've written unto you fathers because ye have known Him that is from the beginning. I write unto you young men. Notice what it says. Because ye have overcome the wicked one. You've overcome him. Look in verse 14. I've written unto you fathers because you have known him that is from the beginning. I've written unto you young men because ye are strong and the word of God abideth in you and ye have overcome the wicked one. Now what a thought there tonight. The ideal is that the young man in Christ is a conqueror. Now the Bible says that we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Tonight you are a conqueror, but it doesn't mean that you live victorious. Tonight our victory is in Jesus Christ, but it doesn't mean that we live victorious. The young man, the Bible says he is strong, and the Word of God abideth in him. Now remember, we have been talking about bearing fruit. And how that God wants us to bear fruit. Folks, tonight it is impossible to bear fruit unless the Word of God is abiding in you. It remains in you. You think about the Bible. You are meditating on the Word of God. That is the young man. You remember the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. You remember His temptation. How the devil tempted Him. Do you know what Christ used every single time? He used the Bible. God's Word is our tool. It is our sword. It is our defense. And the key to victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil is none other than the Bible. I've been sharing with my wife a little bit of a book that I've been reading that has just captivated my heart and mind. It's a book that was out of print for many, many years, and a book well over 100 years old. But it talks about how to master the Bible. And really, it goes on to say how to let the Bible master you. And how to get it, the Word of God, in your heart. And how to, at times, to sit down and read through a single book of the Bible from cover to cover without stopping. And to how to get God's Word in your heart. Brethren, tonight, abiding in God's Word gives you power to do the work of God. Not in the energy of the flesh, but in the energy of the Spirit. Look in Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to show you something here. And if you'll join with me on this journey tonight as we look into the Bible about how that we can be growing in our Christian faith. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10. Notice this deals with our spiritual warfare and how that we are to put on the armor. Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Could you imagine a soldier in our day and time, a modern day soldier? Can you imagine him go out into battle without a gun? Without something to protect himself and something to gain the victory? You would say, that's foolish. But how foolish is it for you and me to go out into a spiritual warfare, a spiritual battle that we do every single day without being armed with the Bible? God's Word is truth. God's Word enables us to grow and to be strong in the Lord. You know something? There's lots of lies out there. The world is filled with all kinds of philosophy and deceit. And without the Bible, you will go astray. God's Word keeps us on course. Young men, they are growing in their Christian faith. They are strong in the Lord because the Word of God abides in them. Now look here, I don't ask you tonight, do you just read the Bible? I'm not asking you if you study the Bible. I'm asking you tonight, does God's Word abide in you? Does it remain? Is it on your heart? Is it on your mind? Do you think about it? Do you go over it and over it? That's what God wants us to do. That is young men in the Lord. Folks, there is no victory in the Christian life apart from abiding in the Word of God. You see, we are the branches. He is the vine. And we are not to bear, we are not to produce the fruit. We are to simply bear the fruit. And you cannot bear fruit unless you are abiding in the vine. What does that mean, Pastor? It means to let the Word of God abide in you. In fact, what does it mean to abide in Christ? The ideal, when Jesus said, abide in me and I in you, the ideal is that we are to cling to Christ. We are to cast our burden upon Jesus. We are to be rooted and grounded in Him. We are to be continually feeding upon the Word of God, obeying the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God. That's what it means to abide. The abide means to exercise faith in Christ, to live dependent on the Lord. And by the way, tonight, every one of us, we are either dependent on the Lord or we are dependent on self. You say, well, Pastor, how do I know if I'm dependent on the Lord or dependent on self? I'll give you a test. We took a test this morning. Here's another test. The test is, how is your prayer life? Because if I am prayerless, it is evidence that I'm dependent on self. But if I'm prayerful, it is evidence that I'm dependent on Christ. You see, this is the ideal of abiding in Him. Young men, the Word of God is abiding in their heart. They are, look here, let me say this to you. A great way to pray and to read the Bible is to do it together. I want to encourage you tonight that when you're reading the Bible and God speaks to you, stop right then and there and pray. In fact, I have used the Word of God often as prayer. You know, for instance, before I begin my devotional time, I might pray, Lord, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. That's a Bible verse out of the book of Psalms. But it's a great prayer to pray, because what powerful praying is it to pray the very words of Scripture? I've often prayed, God, you've said, for it is God which worketh in me both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And Lord, I want to will and to do of Your good pleasure. You see, the Word of God abiding in us. young men. Now, thirdly and lastly tonight, little children, young men, and fathers. Go back to 1 John chapter number 2. Let's notice something here. Go back to verse number 13. The Bible says, I've written unto you fathers, because ye have known Him that is from the beginning. They know the Lord. Look what it says in verse number 14. Notice what it says. I've written unto you fathers, because ye have known Him that is from the beginning. Now would you go to 3 John, all right? You're in 1 John, 2 John. Go to 3 John. Let me show you a couple of verses here, all right? Do you know the Lord? Do you know Him? I mean, is He real to you? 3 John, and look in verse number 7. The Bible says, because that for His name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and you know that our record is true. Now, God gives us two examples here, Diotrephes and Demetrius. There are Diotrephes in every church. Do you know that? I don't know who they are here, but I believe they're in every church. They love to have the preeminence among the brethren. They want to be known. They want to be exalted and lifted up. But Demetrius wants to know God. Folks, tonight, there is a great difference of wanting to be known or wanting to be known, know God. Tonight, do you want to know the Lord? I mean, do you know Him? Is He real to you? I think about Moses, and for tonight, would you just journey with me? Let's go back to Exodus chapter 33, and I want to show you someone who knew God. He knew Him. By the way, the fathers is the most mature group among the Christians. Why? Because they, yes, they're little children, yes, but they've grown from that stage. They know the Lord. They want to pray and spend time with God. But they're young men. Yes, they've gone beyond that stage. The Word of God abides in them. But they know God. They know Him. They've developed in their life. Look what the Bible says in Exodus chapter 33. I want to show you something about Moses. Let's begin, if you would please, in verse number 13 of Exodus 33. In verse number 13. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, God speaking to Moses, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, Moses speaking to God, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Boy, I love what Moses said. He said, God, if I don't have your presence, the ideal there is, God, if I do not know you, then don't carry me up hence. Brethren, tonight, the greatest development in your Christian life is to know God. I'm talking about that you know Him. For instance, let's think just for a moment, all right? My wife and I, last week, we traveled to Pennsylvania. We actually flew into Baltimore, Maryland, and then they picked us up and drove us close, about an hour away, to where we would be in Pennsylvania, where we would be speaking. We spoke to 30 pastors and their wives, so there was right around 60 people there, and we had a good time. It was enjoyable to preach and to speak and all of that. But you know, it's funny, wherever you go, you can mention certain things, and people kind of know things. For instance, you know, the Independent Baptist movement is a very small world. There's no doubt about it. And people said, oh, you know so-and-so, I know them. And all of different things like that. It was just amazing to me. But you know something? God knows tonight if you really know Him. And by the way, the only way that you can know Him is to spend time with Him, to obey Him, to love Him, to have His heart, to walk with Him. Tonight, do you know the Lord? Is He real to you in your life? Maybe tonight you're just a little child, and that's where you're at. Well, it's wonderful to be a Christian, but do you know the Lord? Take your Bibles and go to Hebrews chapter number 5 in closing, and I want to show you one last passage that I pray that God would help us. Hebrews chapter number 5. Folks, tonight, God wants us to know Him. He wants us to walk with Him. Are you a little child? Or have you grown? Are you a young man? The Word of God abiding in you. Are you a father tonight? And that means that you know the Lord. Hebrews chapter number 5 and verse number 11. The Bible says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. Now that's quite a statement, is it not? They're dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full, that are of full age, even though those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now the Bible is speaking here about like little children. Now look here. Little babies, and we have some of them around here, that's great. You know something? They love milk, do they not? It's great to see them, and if they have a little bottle in their hand, it's fine. But let me ask you something tonight. If there was a 12 or 13-year-old that's walking around our church with a bottle in his hand, I would think that there was a problem, you know? I mean, I would say, hey, man, you need to grow up, you know? You need to, like, not drink out of a bottle anymore, you know, and have your little blankie or whatever it may be, you know? I mean, hey, come on, you know? I mean, that's kind of embarrassing. But I wonder tonight if God sees us tonight, and we are still walking around with our spiritual bottle and our spiritual blanket. We're not growing. In fact, what Hebrews talks about here, notice what it says, verse number 12. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. And then notice what it says. God says, hey, you should be teaching others, but you're not. Now, that doesn't mean, we're not talking specifically about a Sunday school teacher or a Christian school teacher, but are you teaching with your life? Are you able to help others in their Christian life? Verse 13, for everyone that useth milk, okay, are you just using milk tonight? Now, hey, the milk of the Word is good, but you've not grown. The Bible says, everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Tonight, this is the key. Are you unskillful in the word of God? Now, I'm not saying tonight, do you understand everything out of the Bible? I'm a preacher, and I don't understand everything out of God's word. I'm still growing, and I'm still learning. But tonight, are you continually learning from God's word? Is God's word abiding in your heart to where you remember what you read this morning and you're going over and over it? You're studying the scriptures. Folks, tonight, you can stay a baby in the Lord throughout your whole life. You know what? I have heard tell that there are many places, Jehovah's Witness and Mormons and different things like that. And do you know something? They say that many of their converts used to belong to a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. You say, well, what happened to them? They were babes that never grew. They were babes in the Lord that they were not skillful in the word of God. Tonight, are you that little child? Then tonight, you ought to come and say, God, help me to grow and help me to get the meat of God's word and to obey it. Tonight, are you a young man? That's wonderful. But you need to be growing and being strong in the Lord. And tonight, are you a father to where you know Him? You know the Lord. You know His guidance and direction for your life. You spend time with Him. You love His presence tonight. How does God see you? Let's bow our heads in prayer.